Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the wonderful world of Nerd New York.
Thank you, Mickey Mouse. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Nerd New York. I'm your host, Giovanni Englund, and we're sad. This is a sad day. Because Daniel Bryan is retiring. I thought he was going to pull off a Mark Henry and destroy Triple H. I thought this was all fake. Okay, I thought this was a work. I thought it wasn't real. But no, ladies and gentlemen, this is real, okay? The guy who defeated Triple H, Randy Orton, but he basically defeated Evolution in one night, okay? With the exception of Ric Flair at WrestleMania 30, he's gone, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not fair. See, I have no real reason to watch Raw anymore. I really don't. None. Daniel Bryan is gone.
I'm going to stop you right there because it's not like you were watching before.
I wasn't. I was waiting till Daniel Bryan comes back, okay?
And then I'm never going to get to see Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, this is the... I was going to say, no, he's now the bodyguard.
Yes.
Daniel Lashley.
I have to retire the African-American dragon in respect for Daniel Bryan. It has to happen. There's no other way.
That's really sad, isn't it? Because
it really does.
Like, I have to retire.
This was our theme song, okay? Monster was our theme, okay? Right after Daniel Bryan won the championship after WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, hands down, I think. And by the way, hi, I'm Satish Ram, as always.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on. Forget it. Talk.
I highly believe the Monster video pack. I think that WrestleMania, by the way, had some of the best video packages ever. And part of it is, like, technology's advanced, right? But that Bray Wyatt one with Eminem's Legacy and the Daniel Bryan one with Monster were spectacular. Like, some of my favorite ones. Going back to, like, let's say, like, Rock and Hogan stuff from...
Yes.
And Monster was still getting me really emotional because, like, they did that so well. And then last night really, really hurt because, you know, so Wrestling 101, everything is a work until, like, you know, proven otherwise. So they're doing the video packages and everything, and all day I'm getting tweets from people, like, reading all stuff from celebrities and fellow wrestlers, and I'm like, no, this is not going to be a thing. And
exactly.
Then it's a when thing. And even when he started his speech, he's making jokes. He's making jokes about Brie. He's talking about cutting his hair off. And I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. And I think it was when he started talking, you know, about the concussion. He's like, yeah. Right. And then I got 3 concussions my first 5 months in WWE. And I'm like, this is going where we think it's going. This is real. And it sucks.
It stinks so much.
Daniel Bryan was a big reason of, I think... He really brought the fans back into this in terms of, like, you know, my colleague and I, Matt Podcast, it was really easy to talk about wrestling because this fan movement thing was going on,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
CM Punk brought me back into wrestling a couple of years ago.
Me too.
Yeah, you know? And I'll openly admit to that. But Daniel Bryan kept us around, and it was really important because Daniel Bryan was our champion. CM Punk was booked to be our champion. I respect that, and I loved what he did with the mic. But we chose Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. We were like, you were going to give him the belt.
Right. Like, we, you know, thousands upon perhaps millions of fans chose Daniel Bryan and sat there and said, no, at least this WrestleMania, at least for these couple months, that's
going
to be our guy. Right. He has to be the guy. And anything else you give us is going to be thrown back in your face.
They hijacked the show. They hijacked each show.
I love Rey Mysterio. And I remember looking at Rey when he came out and the boos that came out. And I sat there and I was like, wow. And that is the only way Rey Mysterio will ever get booed for these things. Because Rey, much respect and much love no matter what.
Yes.
You know?
There was heat where you just said, you just had a certain type of heat. There's X-Pac heat, there's regular heat, and then there's you're not Daniel Bryan heat.
And everyone suffered from that.
Yes.
Everyone suffered
for
that.
For a long time.
Honestly, you go back to WrestleMania 30, and that whole surrounding, let's say, Rumble to WrestleMania, like, time period.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd say starting SummerSlam.
You can go back even...
Go back to SummerSlam.
Yeah, going back to when Daniel Bryan was, like, in 2010 fighting The Miz. Because when he beat them, if you go back and watch the match...
You
where
go
he
back
beats
to
the
2012.
Miz, you go back and you watch him, even when he's fighting The Miz and winning the U.S. title.
Yes.
And the crowd is, like, way behind him.
Yes.
And you go years later, 2012. I mean, it was funny. It was a perfect storm for everything where Daniel Bryan had lost to Sheamus in, what, 18 seconds. And a couple... Yeah, years back. And everyone like fell in love with him after that, which was great, you know. And a lot of the people who were watching WWE who were like global wrestling fans in the sense, and you know this because you kept up with the indies too,
absolutely.
And I believe you did as well, Daniel. that, you know, Daniel Bryan coming over. CM Punk was great because, yeah, we knew him as well from the indies.
Right.
But Daniel Bryan was in the same vein. We were like, hey.
He was known as the right. best in
and
the world.
And he was considered one of the founding fathers, along with CM Punk, right? But like one of these founding fathers of Ring of Honor, what got this whole indie wrestling tradition going.
Exactly.
And so there was a lot of love from him coming from all directions. He was a great worker. Mm-hmm. He was a fun promo.
Right.
He was a likable human being.
Yeah.
The indie fans loved him because we sat there and it was like, hey, that's our American Dragon. That's exactly. the Dazzler. That's Bryan Danielson. And then you've got the casual fans sitting there like okay. this guy is pretty good at what he does.
I like him. Exactly.
And he was the guy who broke down barriers. He's the guy who made everything. Like, if without him, without Punk, The WWE wouldn't be what it is today.
In terms of makeup of roster, right?
Yes.
Did you see Owens' tweet, by the way? Because that shattered my heart.
No.
You go ahead, Daniel.
Okay, it was like basically you were good to Generico and I, even if we didn't deserve it.
Yeah, basically, you were good to Generico and I, even though you didn't have to be. Thank you. And I was like, no. Because Owens is so good at keeping his character.
Right.
You know what? The one who got me was Stardust.
What did Stardust say?
Stardust said just a couple words, and it was just like, some dragons are real.
There was subtle stuff all day. Like CM Punk just tweeted out the picture of him and Daniel Bryan shaking hands when they had a match. And I was like, oh, my God.
This is real.
It's hard because so I was narrating on air for Matt. Like, it was a weird situation for me because, first off, when I was much younger, I still believed in KFAB up to a point where I really shouldn't have into like my teens, you know?
Right? Oh, no.
And so, it's explained in a way like this is sort of what broke it for me. Kurt Angle was leaving WWE.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I remember distinctively this press release of like, it was actually when Eddie died, it was a big thing for me because I was really confused because Ray and Eddie were fighting. Exactly. And then all of a sudden, Ray was like, I love him to death. And I'm like, are they just really that mature or something going on? Not even lying, you know?
Oh, my Lord.
So, because also, like, I didn't have friends who talked about wrestling, so I didn't really have anyone to sit there and tell me wrestling
this
is scripted,
all a work.
You know? And there was no reason. It wasn't my life at the time like it is now. So there's no reason I looked into it enough to think, like, oh, God, they're lying to me.
Right.
So our Angle retires from WWE, really. And there's a press release that's like, oh, well, due to injuries and, like, the wear down his body, Kurt Angle's not going to be wrestling anymore. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, good for Kurt Angle. I was confused because I'm like, the guy was still winning matches a lot. So I was really confused.
Then he went to TNA.
And about 6 months, maybe a year later, I was scanning through the channels, and I think it was Spike TV and TNA was on. I didn't really know what TNA was. I knew of it as wrestling, but like, and it's funny because they gave me some of my favorite wrestlers, and like Chris Daniels, Samoa Joe, all these guys. But I turned on and Kurt Angle's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really confused because I was like, I thought he retired due to injuries. So there's a part of me hoping last night, like, oh, hey, you know,
yeah,
maybe.
I'm going to retire WWE due to injuries. But and then you show up in, like Ring of Honor or,
by the
like,
way, Lucha Underground is amazing.
I know. Yes. I've heard.
So Lucha Underground, too. I was like, oh. But like the more he got into that
New
speech.
New Japan.
Yeah, the more he got into that speech, the more I realized that this really wasn't a, I'm going to retire to get on my contract. This is, I'm hanging up those boots for good. And with Punk, even when Punk walking out, we didn't get the retirement speech that I so desperately wanted. I didn't get
closure. Oh, no, we did. We got an Art of Wrestling. It was great.
Yeah, we got that.
Shouts out to Colt. Yeah, hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
I didn't get my closure on air like I got with Edge. Like, I, you know, and but with Punk, I know that later this year, I'm going to get to see him fight again. You know, I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm gonna watch him when he debuts in MMA. He's going to be fighting in either June or July at 199 or 200. With Daniel Bryan, there's a sense of guilt, I think, like, because we're not going to get to see him fight again, and that's because he put his body on the line for us. You know,
did
and
push him too far?
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, there's this weird sense of guilt for me that I know it's not my fault, and it's not our fault collectively,
right?
But there's this weird sense of guilt where, like, I enjoyed everything he did, and we cheered him. You know, we were there.
Through thick and thin,
for
we were there.
You know, and I remember when the Monster video, they show him wrestling in gyms, literally in parking lots, in garages, like he said. Right. And it's impossible not to love him at that moment. And you sit there and it's like, but I still feel a little guilty because
absolutely.
I feel like we drove him to this. And I want him to have a great life, you know, because we respect him, we look up to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird feeling, isn't it?
It is a weird feeling.
Like, I have a list of my favorite wrestlers, like, okay, it goes Brett, Shawn, Mr. Perfect, Daniel, and then Stone Cold.
Dang. Really?
Lots of love to Mr. Perfect. That's interesting to me.
No,
I'm just saying.
This is really interesting.
Actually, my first match I ever saw, because it was on a tape, SummerSlam 93, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect Intercontinental Championship. Huh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I see you, Daniel.
So Daniel's a big thing for you, Daniel.
Yeah, this is...
I mean, a lot of reasons. One, name's Daniel.
Like, for some reason, every time there's someone that shares my name, there is that instant connection for me.
I mean,
even when it's a bad person, like when I met you,
I think in freshman year of college, I was laughing because, you know, I heard the freshman say your name is like Daniel Lashley, and in my head,
yes,
I was like,
he's
there's a wrestler named Daniel Lashley. Little did I know, like a week later, I find out that he's a huge wrestling fan as much as I was.
And then, like the first time he came here, he was like the African American Dragon, Daniel Lashley.
No, and it's fun, you know, and it's. Wrestling brings out that much in us.
Exactly.
You know, because, yeah. I mean, here we are. We're sitting here towards the end. Like, for most, we're wrapping up college. We're towards the end of college within a year or 2 years. And we still have fun. And wrestling's a big thing for us. Dan Brown was a big part of that.
Yeah. He was, man. He really was.
So even you, who has stepped away from
I'm
Raw.
I'm sour. Like, I'm so sour. Just like, no, Daniel, you were my
sour.
Only hope.
I say sour because my head automatically goes
go back to
the
CM Punk.
No, to the New Day. You say sour, my head automatically goes like,
damn, be sour.
Yeah, don't you dare be sour. Clap.
I'm sad, okay? I'm sad, okay?
Good.
We could go back to 2014 when CM Punk left, and I was sour and sad then. I'm sour and sad now. Dan Bryan is gone.
There's no power of positivity that can bring this up.
There's no unicorn that can bring this back.
To be fair, you look at the state of the E now, and in terms of the wrestlers that are there, as you mentioned, Dan, you know, the roster makeup, right?
Yes.
And Zayn went out of his way to thank him, too, in a tweet saying, like, you know, without you, we wouldn't be able to be here on this roster. It really did, you know, he and Punk really did pave the way. And
they did.
It's really interesting to think about where they are now, though, because Punk, I assume, is happy because
yes.
he's doing what he wants to do.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan, I can only hope he is happy and doesn't have regrets about.
I hope he can enjoy life now.
And if we remember when TLC, like 2011, 2012, because it was when Punk, Bryan, and... Punk, Bryan, and Ryder won the championships.
Yes, I remember
oh,
that.
Oh, gosh. And
I
all
thought
of,
that was... I thought that... No. I thought that was Survivor Series, wasn't
no,
it?
No, that was TLC. It was TLC. Punk was in the middle of his big run.
That was probably 2011.
2011,
because
yes.
I think 2012 was actually here in Brooklyn.
Yes,
I think, with Ryback on
yeah.
the poster.
Yeah.
2012 was here in Brooklyn.
So I think, because you were at that show, Daniel.
Yes, I was.
Right?
I was, and
oh,
I remember that's when I saw the Shield Russell. I saw Daniel Bryan Russell.
That's what
like,
yeah. So I think it was 2011, because that was it was after the summer of Punk
yes.
when he was holding the title.
Right.
Bryan, I think, had won the title, and Ryder, I think, had won the title on that
right.
night.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is now, I mean, that's 2011. We're in 2016.
That's wild. Poor Zack Ryder.
Dang, Zack Ryder.
I feel so
just
bad.
Just think about it. Just like
you,
we pick this guy, Zack Ryder.
You know what's
and
funny?
You know
no, that's
wrong
what I mean.
Him.
Like if we picked Zack Ryder and he got hurt in
he
terms
just
of like
choke
he got shut down.
He just
right?
got choke slammed and that was the end of it.
That was not our fault. That was WWE's fault because he got
no.
over on his own.
Yeah, I know it wasn't our fault, but I guess like they blame him because he had his whole like you know
his
YouTube shtick and like social
like
media and all
internet
that.
Champion
Daniel Bryan didn't have any
didn't
of
have
that.
No,
he didn't
you
have
know
any
what he had.
That.
He already had a name out there. That's why people liked him from the jump. Okay, and if the wrestling fan likes him, I feel like you know the casual fan is gonna like them because we like people for a reason. Okay, one that they can wrestle, two that they're really good on the mic, and three that they're just nice people. Okay, and Daniel Bryan is one of those people.
It's true though, isn't it? I mean, the speech was really hard hitting.
And it was sad. And he's like, I'm going to miss this and I'm going to miss that. And I was just like, oh,
this
no.
This is going to be a Dan Bryan show, man. Damn.
No.
No,
Daniel.
I mean, on somewhat of a lighter note, I suppose, right? Do you think that this is the type, like, do you think he's going to come back in a non-wrestling capacity somehow?
Hopefully. Him.
I don't want him seeing back in the
and
WWE.
I don't mean, no, I don't mean like Total Divas, by the way, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, like,
I know,
is
like,
he going to do like a Mick Foley type, like, a thing?
Hopefully.
Where like he comes around, maybe he's GM of SmackDown or something like that. Or
just, that'd be cool.
Just don't let him take any bumps.
That's why, you know, it's hard, right?
I don't know. I want to. I don't
because
I
you know like
a
Daniel
no-lock.
it's different than the Edge, because Edge, I believe the diagnosis was like, if you take one more bad bump, you'll be paralyzed for life, right? It was something along that nature. Yes, so. With Daniel Bryan, it just seems like if you continue, you know,
it could get worse.
And like, that's gonna, I think, gonna be weird. That's why I think the non-wrestling thing will be weird, because like, let's say he comes back as GM, right? Mm-hmm. There's always gonna be those questions, like, can they coax one more match out of him? Should he coax one more match?
Like, that's scary. And it's
he
scary.
Wanted to come back anyway.
He did. No, but that's the thing. Exactly. I don't know. I wonder how hard it would
thinking,
be.
I was thinking, I was like, yo,
to have.
What if Daniel Bryan?
Well, he's
going to
start a. Well, now at least he's going to start a family with Brie.
that was fun, by the way. Like, then start chanting yes to that, and he's like, yeah, that's what Brie says. and then he gets a that's what she said chant going. And it was funny. It was like, that's not PG.
That's so not.
You know,
PG.
It wasn't PG? I don't know if you saw Bayley falling on Finn Balor.
I did see that.
My God.
Yes,
Bayley
yes.
copied Finn Balor's entrance to make him happy while he was injured, Daniel.
Yes,
and what happens is, you know, and so this is not on camera, but if you know, like, the Finn, like, the, like, big thing he does is the demon. Bayley was doing that. Finn injured his ankle and was on crutches and tried to do it as well, and he fell.
On top of Bayley.
No, well, he fell, then Bayley fell on top of him tripping up. But, and they caught a few much. It's actually a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
and I hate it because.
Maybe something going on between them.
It looked that way, right?
Maybe.
And it was a heartwarming thing, you know? And I'm like, wow, wrestling is nice. And then about like 6 hours later, Daniel Bryan. And it went from like this whole spectrum of Sunday night, like sitting there like, oh, Daniel Bryan's going to be in Seattle. You know, he's going to be on Raw. And then it's like Daniel Bryan got blocked from giving a notice to WWE. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And then Monday morning, it's like, yep, retiring. It's like, no. And I think tonight he's got an interview on SportsCenter with
with the coach.
Jonathan Coachman.
The coach.
Who had a really punchable voice. Yes. Honestly, the guy had a, like...
With the coach!
God, I really wanted to...
The man with a punchable face.
Sometimes, like, people have punchable punchable faces, and I say, like, I have a face for radio, I make these jokes. Coachman had a punchable voice. The more I heard him talk, I was like, somebody go over there and haymaker.
I have the same thing with Michael Cole.
Yeah, apparently Kevin Owens does too, by the way.
He wants to...
Michael Cole's just annoying. I'm tired of Michael Cole.
Even Byron Saxton. Like.
No, you know what's funny to me? And you guys will understand this because you grew up on this stuff. I can't like get over looking at Cole as a bit of like a joke character because I grew up with him like being mocked in the video games as being unable to do anything.
He's
and
like,
Taz making fun of him. Like, right?
Yeah, by the time I get through with you, you will be Cruiserweight champion. I remember that.
I still actually remember, what's it called? What's his name? The Rock just monstrously just toying with Michael Cole all of his career, the early parts of his career.
Oh yeah, I remember when The Rock gave Michael Cole some pie. Do you remember that?
Do you want some pie?
He was like, "How was your first experience?" He's like, "I gotta tell you, Rock, it doesn't matter how your first experience was." See, you know what's weird about Michael Cole? Really quick, it's weird that like 2002 to like. 2000, well, I'll just say, when Michael Cole was on SmackDown, he was dope, and then I don't know what happened to him. I guess it's just
you
that.
You know what? They turned him heel, and he still, it's funny. I thought face Michael Cole as, like, a beatdownish character, like, people made fun of him.
I really didn't.
Because
he was nice.
He was good as Cole. So when you made fun of him as a face, you know, and, like, heels making fun of him, you still liked Cole, because it's like, oh, poor Michael Cole, because
exactly.
He's good at his job.
Exactly.
But he turned into, like, this heel that was all like, I'm Michael Cole, I'm the voice of WWE.
Yeah.
And, like, they had the, it coincided with that stupid anonymous GM angle with the laptop.
Also, like. Like when you're the voice of WWE and
wrestling, then,
and
so.
When and
I don't
when
blame you.
I stopped watching wrestling for a while. That happened because it wasn't out of because the thing with me and wrestling when I was out we used to play outside with my friends. I was like a Thursday night, and I'm like, okay, it's 8 o'clock, gotta go in. Bye. So then I hit SmackDown. My friends could sit. I just used to be screaming, yes, come on. And then my friends could Daniel, we can hear you.
I think it's amazing how much times have changed, though, because Daniel Bryan was, like, what, 5'8", 180?
Yeah, he's 5'8",
Ray,
190.
When Ray, I think, when I was growing up, Ray was, like, 5'3". At least booked at 5'3", 165.
Exactly.
Right? So you add less than half a foot. And about 20 pounds. And 10 years later, you had the hero of this wrestling generation.
Yes.
I think it's amazing how times have changed. Because
And the power of the wrestling like, fans.
That's special.
It is. You know?
And I guess that's why it's so hard to let it go, because we chose Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
And he succeeded. And then he got hurt. And now it's a matter of...
And then
of
he came
like,
back. And then he came back.
And got hurt again.
And then he got hurt again.
And that's what I mean. Like, how... You know, how would this ever happen again?
Who are we going to choose?
That's me. And it's not like there aren't choices. I think there are lots of choices. Sami mm-hmm. Zayn could be that type of person. Yes. Kevin Owens could be that type of person. Prince Devitt, Finn Balor could be that type of person, right? But now... I worry if there's going to be that kind of hesitancy because, like, that guilt I mentioned, right?
Right.
Yes.
Like, it's not just me that's feeling it. There are a lot of people looking at it like, yes, we got what we wanted,
and then,
but at the expense of his health.
Exactly.
Right? And now you start to wonder if, like, there's that evil Vince voice in the background, like, see, I told you that's what happened if I push the smaller guys. And it just makes you wonder. Like, it, you know, like, it hurts me because mm-hmm. I grew up loving not only, like, the cruiserweight division, the smaller right. guys, mm-hmm. but, God, I loved underdog stories.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Daniel Bryan was the ultimate underdog.
He's the ultimate underdog.
You know,
and
it really, yeah, it really felt that way.
Exactly.
And yeah, Ray was the quote unquote ultimate underdog. And I love Ray. I have so much love for Ray
and then
in his
Daniel
career.
Bryan
right?
Came. I'm sorry. Daniel
but,
Bryan
and Ray was an underdog in certain situations.
Well, of course.
And I had a lot of love for him. I do. But Daniel Bryan was different.
Yes.
And it wasn't, you know, it was, the rise was so. It was so unique, and it was one of those generational
exactly,
things.
Exactly, because they
like,
put everything. They made him heel. They still cheered him, and then what happened? Oh,
he joined the Wyatt family.
Yeah, that pissed me off. He joined the Wyatt family. They were still cheering for
and
him,
and the crowd was upset because they were like, "That's
doing?
Not what we want. Exactly. We need Daniel."
And
Bryan
the
to-
moment he shed that, he shed the janitor clothes, and you heard the whole fan go. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the most iconic things, yes. And I guess this is so bittersweet, when he beat Bray uh-huh. in the cage match and
exactly.
climbs it and cheers, right?
Yeah.
Iconic, but he doesn't remember it.
Right. Yeah.
Because
he
got
a concussion
that
yeah,
night.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for me to talk about that because that is, I think, a very encompassing moment of like this Daniel Bryan thing. The entire arena was behind him that night.
Yeah.
Millions of other people watching were behind him that night. And it was one of the most iconic moments of this iconic run.
And he
doesn't
remember
it? Because of a concussion.
My God.
And that's so bittersweet because that's it. That's exactly what happened. We got what we wanted. He got what he wanted. It actually worked.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't remember it.
Jesus.
And that's really, really.
That's sad.
That's where I feel that kind of guilt. Where I sit
right.
there and it's like. I did get what I wanted. And for him, he does too, because I know that as someone even who used to just play baseball casually and talking to these people when I used to work in baseball, the idea of like, and football too, you know what your body's going to be like when you get older.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you've done to yourself now. And you ask them all, would you take it back if you knew where you'd be?
Right.
No.
And I don't think any of them would ever say no. And
right.
you know he wouldn't either.
Of course not.
And that's why it's so bittersweet because you have somebody sitting there basically being a human gladiator for us
mm-hmm.
and looking us straight in the eye and thanking us.
And we should be thanking you.
You gave us.
Right? That's what.
Because we as people who watch sports, who watch anything, we feel a part of it because we can't do this. We know we can't do this.
Right. Exactly.
Right,
and we look
right.
up to you as our, you're our hero. You're our guy, okay?
You do.
We stuck up the place for you, Daniel. Okay, and then you're leaving me.
You cheered. Does anyone remember Seattle when they it was Randy Orton
and John Cena? They had that little championship ceremony,
and
everyone
they
Daniel
drowned
Bryan!
It out. It was in Seattle,
Daniel
and they
Bryan!
Drowned out everybody.
Exactly, because they didn't care about what was going on in the ring. All they cared about was Daniel Bryan,
and they got it.
And they got it.
We got it. You know, and.
Took us until WrestleMania, but we got it.
No, and almost rightfully so.
Exactly.
You know, like, and again, it was a perfect storm. CM Punk left.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was...
No, Punk was still there at that point.
No, that
no,
was
we're
Punk.
We're talking about, like, now...
Because oh. no, yeah. Punk kicked Sean in the... Punk got super kicked by Sean.
Yeah,
true,
but
he was still miserable.
Wasn't that Rumble where, like, Punk was...
Yeah. Oh.
That was when he was on his way out.
Oh, yeah, that was when he was on his way out, right? And
yes.
that WrestleMania, Punk wasn't on it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it was sort of a perfect storm where, like, the indie darlings and the smarks and everyone combined needed a darling.
Right.
The casuals had Daniel Bryan and started realizing, I think we do like
this
guy. This
guy is good.
And then
I like him.
Suddenly, you know, you have John Cena even losing cheers to this guy.
To Daniel Bryan, okay? people were remember that whole time where John Cena was like, "Hey, I gotta pick my opponent for SummerSlam." Daniel Bryan.
There was no other option,
and it was in Brooklyn too.
There was
Daniel Bryan. Like, you didn't say. Good thing you didn't say CM Punk. You're like, yes, yeah, no, Daniel Bryan.
There was no other option, and honestly, at that WrestleMania, at WrestleMania 30, there really couldn't have been another option. Yeah.
Yo, I will say this, man. Daniel Bryan is my favorite wrestler. Like, I remember that Money in the Bank 2012 when CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were having their own thing. Yeah, my friends were, like, cheering CM Punk. I'm like, no, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan. I told him, like, yo, Daniel Bryan is probably the only person I'll cheer over CM Punk. It was that real.
And I can't blame you for that. I'm pretty sure I was cheering Punk because, my God, Punk was a promo for the gods.
Nah, but I was like, Daniel Bryan, come on! He can do it! You beat him before, okay? Sure, it was 10 years ago. No one remembers. You're not supposed to know that. But you can do it, Brian!
No,
and it was like... I remember that match because it was like... This match is so different because it felt like an actual indie match. Like, they're actually wrestling and not... It wasn't like a... They weren't going out.
Was that the one
where
they sat up and they were like slapboxing at some point, right? Oh, my God.
Like they were back in New Japan, man. What? Well, we got 1 minute left, man. Forget everything else we were talking about.
It was,
this is the Daniel Bryan
we knew.
We had to do.
This is the Daniel Bryan show.
This is the Daniel Bryan show because Daniel Bryan, you deserved it. And from all of us here at Nerd New York, just want to say thank you, Daniel Bryan.
Thank you.
No, forget that. Thank you, Brian Danielson.
We're the ones who are
the American Dragon.
Yes. To you.
Okay.
We have gratitude for you, man.
I've got until 5, okay? That's a throwback. Y'all won't know that. Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
From everyone here at Nerd New York, just want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. And this is YCRadio.org, the voice of today's generation. Thank you all. And thank you, Daniel Bryan.